fact is that when I went to when I worked in Hartz for Max Green, they had hot water, they had towels, they had toilet paper. It wasn't so bad in Hartz for Max, but the other places was much worse.
Well, how about at home where you lived? What was it
this
like?
This is what I want to tell you. I want to freeze the candle, else I'm going to puke. And you must remember, in 1908, let me see, and this was in
1900 and... This is when you first came
then? Yeah, this was, when I arrived here in 1908, I think you got that.
Yeah.
But you want to know about the shops.
Yeah, but I also, and what it was like at home, because that's, people don't realize what, you know, how it was then. I think it's important to be able to get that.
I felt better in the shop than at home. It was warm with tuna. Not just the mug. Not in the other shops.
But what was the closer shop like, for instance?
The closer shop was heaven. In comparison to home, it's hot water, and it had to be clean because everything was white. See, I can't give you that. I can give you a picture because I'll give you a picture of an overall picture, overall factory. Because I worked, I didn't want to work Saturday. I don't remember that was after the 1910 strike though. I worked there a very short time, and I didn't want to work Saturday. I got a job somewhere on Jefferson Street that put the 2x4 shop. And I was filled with cockroaches and everything conceivable. And I learned the Jewish song there. Well, that's all I can tell you. I know. Listen, it's 70 years, almost 70 years. I didn't expect me to remember this.
What? Where did you have to eat lunch in the bathrooms like they did in New York in the shops?
No, I never ate. See, I couldn't eat lunch in the bathrooms. Chamuk washing, and I sat sadech and the bruchas, the prayers. I couldn't. No, I had to be in the open. No. I had to be clean. So we didn't do that. Then Chicago wasn't, as I understand, Chicago wasn't nearly as bad as New York.
Well, at Hart Schaffner and Marx, was there a lunch room? Or what?
No, not those days. They ate at the table.
At the work table.
Yeah. I tell you what, I do remember, this was 1909, and never since or after did I eat lemon cream pie. We pitched in for a lemon cream pie. There was a German woman there, and a couple of animal bases, big pie. That was my stomach. I don't know what happened, but that's the effect it had on me. No, I used to take lunch from home. It was 2 eggs, butter bread, a bottle of coffee. That was 1910, up to the strike. 19 after the 1915 strike, in between, I didn't work, I couldn't, I was blacklisted. Oh, I was ready. Words, bread, dry bread, a pint of sweet cream, a dozen bananas. Oh, I went to town.
Sarah, what? How much time did they give you for lunch before the 1910 strike?
I think the cost factor was 30 minutes, the Hartzogner market was 45 minutes. 45 minutes. It's always 45 minutes. And there was, in Hartzogner market, there was a time limit. There was 56 hours. And sometimes you work Sunday. No time and a half. But you start at 7:30 to 6 o'clock. Those were the hours. Now figure out what they want. Then go to school or do some homework. I did all that. Now you can question me some more.
Now how about at home, your apartment was, how many, four of you were living there, right? Your sister, and you and your mother and father.
Well, originally, at that time it was like this. It was my two brothers. See, my brother, one brother got married in 1910. And one in 1911. But we were all home. There was two brothers, and there was Sarah, Fanny, Molly, Morris, Dave, Sarah, Fanny, and Rose. We were six, and my father and mother were eight.
And how big was your apartment?
At that time, we had six rooms. You paid $8. We couldn't pay. We were the... I like it. We had a toilet in that hall.
That you shared with another family?
No.
Oh, that was just for you?
Yeah. Downstairs was the junk shop, on the corner was a saloon, and that cross street was a saloon. And the other corner was a grocery store.
Now, what street was this on?
This was on Lincoln Street, that's named different now, Lincoln and Austin. Northwest side, they called it at that time. That doesn't exist now. I live on Emerson Avenue, Rockwell Street, Washington, Levitt Street, Horn Avenue. We live on all the... I had a sister, Molly. This niece's mother, the one sending me flowers. She was the only one who was entirely illiterate. But she wanted a fancy house. So she ordered furniture and turned easy payment. And then who? If I didn't pay, there was no payment. Rugs and furniture, all of a sudden they took them out. That poor woman. She, poor thing, wanted. She was a big girl, you know. My brothers were lousy. They wouldn't call for, you know. For that matter, the only one was, that's the three of us. He was so, as though we didn't belong to the same family. This one wanted a home, so you have a home, You want a nice home? Where are you going to get the money? It was just the reverse with me. I wouldn't buy a thing without... It was just not in me. From childhood on, I don't know, is that inborn, innate, whatever you want to call it. You can't, you know, you can laugh now, but when they drag the rug out through the window because you didn't let them in. And the safety letter was made out of leather that time. Oh, God. And then the house was entirely empty. Oh, what a life. You talk about the good old days.
Did you have running water in the house?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, running water. We went to public once a week on Grand Avenue. Oh, my poor mother. Bless. And we had the same in the same house. Oh, I tell you. See, foreigners that came, were fortunate. Their children was cooperating. Our children weren't at all. And but after they got married, we were a very good family men. Both of my brothers. And we were very good husbands and good fathers. I mean, my older brother was, oh boy. Oh, there weren't enough women in this world for him. You're a little Fitzco. I don't even know what that is. Fitzco.
Is it like down warm?
Yeah. This picture somewhere. I tell you, it's... But, talk about a hope. My mother, in the old country, she knew her way around here. She went to go to school, so the neighbors laughed at her. Yeah, greenhorn, she wants to go. You know, she read the street names, the names of the street. Look at the greenhorn, she knows how to read. She knew how to read German and Hungarian and Jewish. Most of them didn't know how to...
So, sir, what were most of the neighbors? Were most of them Yankees?
No, most of them were foreigners. When we lived on Lincoln Street, for instance, there was next door to us was an Irish family, one that advised my mother to send me to the Jewish Aid Society to find a job. But what I wanted to know about this place on Lincoln Street, now, there were two boys in the house, three other girls, my mother and my father, and the sink was quite big, was a big sink, a big stove, a flat, and in the living room there was another, I don't know, those. I don't know how, but I remember I took a rag and pulled the tail of a big rat coming out from the sink. It was a junk shop downstairs, so it wasn't dirty because this sister that I'm talking about, this my niece's mother, she was clean and I wasn't dirty. My mother was no housekeeper. She wasn't. She was a good cook in her way. My nightgown was clean, the bedding was clean. Otherwise, the house was in a mess. My just table always. My father was very fastidious. He was, everything had to be ordered. He jumped the back. He drank a pint of whiskey and a half a pint of sweet cream. Oh, God. Well, what else do you want to know now?
You want to tell me about your boyfriend?
What do you want to know? What has that got to do with the labor movement?
I'm curious, because it runs all through everything.
He was a nice guy. He was a nice guy. He was crazy. That guy was crazy. I tell you, I never took him serious. Did I tell you how I met him?
No.
My friend Hilda. See, I came out here in 1930. By the way, I got a... because I was coughing my lungs out. So I asked Frank to send me out to do some organization work there. And 1930 was the depression. And Sam Levine was in the hospital after where I did. I slammed the door and broke the glass there. What an animal. Anyways. Yeah, he's a spitzer is out here. It's a spitzer. And the doctor told me, you don't think that California would do me any good. I was so I was fat like that. I drank and I ate. I think that would kept me going. Maybe. Anyways, he says, I ran home. I said, oh, you son of a bitch. And here this man that was in the hospital, Sam Levine, I sided in with Frank, risked my life. You know, I didn't hold that again. That was my choice. He didn't force me. He didn't break my arms, you know. I felt that he was superior, and that was my choice. The fact that you come across in some of the scribbling, I was so tickled to greet him in the New York General Office. We hugged and kissed, and I never did it Frank. I could never, never felt that as a human being. Well, there's a different, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Where the hell do I get to be analytical? Where did I get it from? Who the hell, lousy armor baster, will analyze this one, analyze that one? Anyways, I come home, I get a telephone call, Petoskey call. He wants to see me. Frank turned me down. I never wanted to see, since that 1910 strike, I made up my mind, God damn it, I'll do anything, but I don't want any handout. And I never did want any. Even as a child, I resented. You see, that's characteristic. I don't know what's characteristic of every hunky, but it's certainly it's characteristic of me. I was hungry like a dog, and I've been picking the seed from what the horses left from the whatever they ate then. pumpkins. And I wouldn't, when I was offered, I wouldn't take it. I'm with beyond. I come down, what is it? Jake? That you call him Jake, not Jack. I was, you know, it's Jack. He said, listen, sir, go and see Charlie Boy, the financial secretary, you get a round trip ticket. Everything paid for him. California, Los Angeles. And they wired to Spitzer, nobody should bother you, take a good rest. I don't want it. I don't want a handout. I want to work for my money. He says, Vanishkan action. Don't be stubborn, you. He didn't have to twist my arm because I was scuffing my lungs out. The right to speak, nobody should doubt him because sir was known pretty well. Whenever there was a tailor, they knew Sarah. So, anyways, it was March the 25th. I make an arrangement, and there comes a blizzard in Chicago, and nobody can budge. At this point, finally, somewhat cleared up, got a cut. I get. And up in that little dinky radio station here. It was really 1930. If I would be one of those, I would say, why the hell didn't I remain that time? I would have been better. I'm better. There's nothing wrong with me now. Now I come to the station specifically for me.
Did you know him from before?
Oh, yeah. 1910 guy.
Oh, he was from Chicago?
Yeah. Most of the head guys out there, Schlossberg, very few of the big shots were from...
Right.
Well, Schlossberg was from New York and a few others. The Lee and McCoy were mostly from Chicago. Bloomberg was from Baltimore. I mean, you come across in the advent. So, he says, well, I got instructions not to have you be bothered, you need a rest. Where would I take you? He said, I don't know. He says to me, I don't know anybody. You better call Hilda, call Sadie Goodman. They were out here already. But they told me, I said, I don't want to call anybody. I didn't. I felt that I needed it. He says, well, I'll take you out to Ocean Park. And I heard, I knew that much, Ocean Park of that. All the Schneiders live out there. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be mocked. I don't want to be bothered. He said, well, I don't know what to do. You better call one of the girls. What? Well, I thought to myself, I'm not going to call Sadie. And if Sadie's... I don't want to talk about her. She's a wonderful soul, but I don't like to talk about a person. I want you to get your own impression. What she said about her is anyways, I go to work and I call Hilda. Who do I see? Who got? This was 1930, I want you to know. It doesn't take long. And Hilda comes with somebody. She had people all around her all the time. Some kind of broken down Ford picked me up. And I looked at her and looked at him and her husband. And the reason, in addition to my ailment, I wanted to look up because there was a rumor that he was going to have a baby. So you couldn't have kept me down if I had to crawl. I wanted to be with Hilda. I'm not thinking, there was no... Anyways, and I was all in. You see how they were so smart back in Chicago that they shouldn't bother me. Poor Hilda, they didn't know. She didn't know that I was in such a rundown condition. Upton Sinclair spoke the same night, and she took me to the museum. I almost died, and I was so all in forever. Anyways, I went. And I parked myself in YWCA. I didn't want to stay with her. So, I stayed in the YWCA, and I met a girl from Tacoma, Washington, a blonde chicken. I was getting restless. I didn't like it there. You come across all of this.
Some of that we talked about before, how you went to Long Beach.
Yeah. Well, then you know this.
No, but you still didn't tell me how you met him.
Well, I get to Long Beach, you know, then the city comes in on this. I didn't tell anybody. But when I was ready to leave Long Beach, I went to Hilda. Hilda comes with Dick.
Oh, she knew him?
Yes. Oh. Dick was her friend. Who wasn't her friend? Everybody was her friend. She came with him and another guy. And I had a nice little apartment. And I was preparing little sandwiches, but that very petite, after I recuperated. And I was cutting cheese, and Dick comes in, he says, "May I have a piece of cheese?" And I cut it, so I gave it to him, so he took my finger, he bit my finger. So I looked at him, and I'm very, I can be terribly rude. Yeah. I still am, you know, as old as I am. I can be obnoxious and I can be very nice. I don't like to be obnoxious. It hurts me when I have to be obnoxious. I'm telling you the truth, by the way. It's not that I'm not putting it on. I'm giving it to you as is. Anyways, to cut a long story short, it was all with Hilda. He takes me to Hilda's house. We come to Los Angeles. Hilda tells me, what did you do to Dick? He was just good seeing you. And he started taking me places. And I'll never forget. Anyways, he took me all over creation, and that's how the thing happened. That's the stuff. There's a lot to be talked about. I told you about this, you see. This was in 1930. It all happened in 1930. Now, he wanted to come to Chicago, and I was taking care of my father. That's all I needed, to bring a French guy to my father's house. And he was very hospitable. I used to have professors from Northwestern. Pretty nice associate coming to the house here and there. They would have given anything to be able to converse with my father. I turned around, I was here, it was all right. Didn't hurt, what the hell. I was no more what I used to be, so But I thought no more of it. That's all. I had it. Especially after this affair, it hit me the wrong way. Yeah, I was young, younger, a little bit younger. No. He kept on writing to me this thing. And the fact is, when I left, I think I still have the sentimental I am, because they have fine flowers pressed here and there. Not only from him, but from many other occasions. He comes to the railroad station with the forget-me-nots in the center, you know, all the trimmings, you know. All right. So, that's Paris, 1930. I get back to Chicago and I want to forget about it. I started and went out to somebody else here and there. Then I wasn't like Emma Goldman by a long shot. I wasn't that attractive. And men were afraid of me, and I don't know what to say. I did care in a way. When I cared, I took it. I figured I need a cigarette, I took a cigarette. But that's as far as I went. That's all. I didn't want to tie a rope around my neck. Just for the sake of being married like my friends. I want to have I don't want to be a miss. I want to have a missus in front of me. Some of my friends told me that. No, I didn't feel that way. I figured if children, when I was young, I wanted a eugenic baby. I fell off with after the season. And so I said, hell, somebody came along that impressed me and was clean and so on. So I had a cigarette. That's all. But never have I resorted, just for the animal instinct alone. It was always something intellectually connected with who my intellect, my grace of intellect, you know. But that's how I felt. And I pursued that sort of a thing, all right. And that's all. And that's an uncle. 1938. Again, I got sick and tired of fighting around, and I getting tired. And the one swallow can't make a summer. I didn't want to give up. But what the hell, I didn't want to give anybody the satisfaction to drop dead. I did the same thing here. I wouldn't have retired even at 65. But I felt slipping physically, see? And that satisfaction I refused to. And that's why I'm here, to tell the tale. Believe it or not. At least that's what I think. I think that's why I'm here. I refuse to, whether it's right or wrong. So I came out here and forget about it. I didn't want to make no contact with him. I wouldn't have anything to do with him. I didn't think that he was my type, physically, intellectually. Well, maybe he was by far not a dummy. He was a low-rat type. He didn't send me. But under certain circumstances, you know, and say, you need a cigarette, so what the hell are you going to do? I get a crazy notion, and he tried to get it. As soon as he found out I was here, he tried to get in touch. I ignored it. He got a crazy notion. 4 o'clock at night, I'm with my niece. I live with my niece somewhere. I don't remember where it was. And he lived in Hollywood. And it didn't take more than a half hour, he was there. 7 o'clock at night. Just to prove myself a certain crazy point. I said, it was my nephew was getting married in Chicago, in Oak Park, my sister's son. I said, I want to go out and celebrate, that's all. So I did. I mean, that's how good. But I always wanted to break up.
Because it goes on, you keep saying how you want to break up.
Yeah.
He wanted to break up, you know.
He wanted to break up.
But he didn't call you for a long time.
Well, I always discouraged him. Well.
So how many years did this go on and off like
that? It went on till I think it's 44. When I went to the convention, he made me a beautiful, I just threw it out. Bathrobe, beautiful. On Chicago County. He made me suits and he was all right. But I got a letter that I mailed to him and that came back. He got sick. I felt sorry for him, so I wanted to go see him. But it came back, I don't know what happened. So I went to his funeral. And I said, thank God, I'm not a widow.
So you stopped seeing him in late 40s?
I stopped seeing him, I think about 46, 47.
And then he died when?
I got it somewhere to see it. I don't remember dates anymore.
Now, Sarah, did you try living with him for a month in 1941?
40.
Because you have a note, you say, the experiment's over.
No remorse, no regrets.
But you didn't say what the experiment was or anything, so I figured, well, you lived with him for a while. A month, I think it was.
It was more than that. I tried a week straight, and then it was a month, and I mean, it went on for quite a while, you see, but a week I took off. Went to the seaside. I went to seaside. I got the receipt, so I remember. All right, I wouldn't remember. Fact is, the first time I went with him, see, I used to have crazy ideas when I was really young. I was about 16, 17. I always dreamed of being near the ocean, had a cigarette and throw it in the ocean. I'm a guy. You have no idea how crazy I was. But you see, I could never it wasn't fulfilling. It was obvious there was something. And yet, I don't know, I used to go out with him to Encino. That was wild in those days, 30 years ago. I have fun, sometimes clean fun, but then I'd ask myself, well, why do I have to pollute myself? Why do I have to resort to drinking when I'm with him? And I questioned it. Now, when I went out the first time, when I was out, and I had every decoration like a bride has, and I wanted to drink. He said, you can't be with me without drink. You go to hell. I don't want you. You see, that stuck to my mind. And now that wasn't what I wanted either. It was only that I wanted to break. I wanted to break the thought that I'm no more a virgin. And I was late in my life. See, I asked the doctor after my operation, I said, what kind of wife would I make? You'd make the best wife living. no children, and I was. I think it had a lasting psychological effect. Well, that has me want to know, my dear young lady. I should, and no woman should talk to a young girl like that. Isn't that terrible? Well, I can't take it with me, can I?
No.
So have fun. You'll be able to talk about an old maid. I'm not an old
maid. You're not an old maid.
I'm not an old by far not. I had some very interesting times. I had one, I can't call it a fairy. The only one I can call a fairy is Dick. Because that lasted a hell of a long time. The other guy, it was here and there. One was a teacher, a high school teacher. I was a college teacher. I don't even remember his name unless I looked up. Didn't make much of an impression. The other guy got a new car and got killed. But I tell you, he was cute and wanting. He used to flatter the life out of me. He says, "I'm like a Hungarian gypsy."
Sure, except for Schuster, none of them were in the union, though, huh?
Nobody was in the union. He wasn't.
Just the Schuster.
Schuster wasn't in the union. He was a labor manager in Rochester and Hines.
But I mean, no one was connected to you at all?
No, sir. Well, I tell you, there was one thing that was unmentionable. I don't even want to mention it to myself. It still happened. That was an accident. But that's, I don't mean. But the thing is, in the last analysis, neither is it may if the saying goes. Dick lasted the longest. I wanted to get rid of him. Because, you see, I couldn't. If somebody came around, he was there. He didn't allow me to, it was a nuisance, and...
Was he radical at all?
He certainly wasn't a conservative. I couldn't swallow. I mean, you wouldn't expect to have something. He had many very good qualities. For instance, let me tell you this now. Must be 39 or 40, there was no work, none of us were working, Hilda, Dick,